Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have had really a whirlwind of football here in the last week and a half. The NFL draft just got over with, you know, about a week and a half ago. And that same weekend, we had the Professional Football Researchers Association Western New York chapter had their annual meeting, our buddy Jeff Miller and company really runs a great show. It was the 10th annual one that we've had up there in Western New York. And once again, it was like the third or fourth year in a row they've had it in Springville, New York, the home of Pop Warner. So one of the great highlights of going up there every year is going to the Pop Warner Museum, which is just about a hop, skip, and a jump away from the venue where the meetings are held. And they folks at the museum always put on a great display. And they actually have some new exhibits there this year from Pop Warner's personal collection. Pop Warner donated the house and many of the items that are in this old house that's been turned into a museum. Really tells a story of not only American football history through Pop Warner's eyes, but a lot of Americana and the history of Springville and Western New York as well. So really interesting place. If you ever get a chance to visit that, I'll plug it all the way because it's a great place. But I had a kind of an interesting time while actually we were in the museum because we spent probably an hour in there. And I noticed, there's usually a bunch of different people, some every year that I am not familiar with, some old friends that we get to see every year and have our annual handshake and pat on the back and even a hug or two and talk some football history. But this one gentleman I didn't recognize, but he had a nice green Notre Dame sweatshirt on and over at the Pop Warner Museum, and he was looking at an exhibit that was real close to where, the one I was looking at, and I just made comment that I was a Notre Dame fan, and this is just a couple days after Julian Love and Jadarian Price were drafted in the first round as running backs, former Notre Dame. And so we had a nice little chat on Notre Dame football and, some other things in football history, 10-15 minute talk. And he even fixed my collar. It was raining out and I had a jacket on and threw it on abruptly. And I had the collar of my jacket was tucked under on one side, and he straightened me out a little bit. I thanked him and I walked away from the stranger. And, my friends that as I walked away said, "Hey, you were just talking to one of our guest speakers today, Mark Kelso." Now, if you don't remember Mark Kelso, he was the one that wore the pro cap back in the 1990s, played on all four of the Buffalo Bills Super Bowl teams of the 90s. It was a defensive back, and he was famous for, he got some concussions early on in his career. So the last few years of his career, actually, a company right in the area I live in, an inventor, invented the pro cap, which is sort of a mushroom-shaped piece of padding that goes over the top of the helmet. And as we know the Guardian caps today, well, that was sort of the predecessor of that. So I went up to Mr. Kelso later and apologized. I said, "Mark, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. You said your name was Mark to me, but I didn't put two and two together. It's been many years since he's played and everything." But, we had a great conversation. He had a laugh, and we had some more chats, more personal level, talking about family and stuff, and a really nice guy. Does not like to do podcasts, though, so we honor that and respect that. But, salute to a great legend. We also had another great guest, among others. We had Todd Schmidt from NFL Films, who gave us some insight into producing one of the great NFL films, from the music, the storyline, the great writing, and the descriptive wording that they have in these things, to the great action shots, and what really the basis of what the Sables put NFL films on the map for. They're still trying to do that today, to just show us a little bit different side of football, other than, you know, far away and seeing his player shots. They want to see a tear in the eye, or a smirk on somebody's face, or that odd comment that's on the sideline or in the huddle. And that was just great. So Mr. Schmidt did a great job too. We also had visitors from not only our own internal folks, like Mike Richmond, a fellow PFRA historian who has been on this program multiple times to talk about the Washington Redskins. And he had another great topical Washington Commanders Redskins story for us today. We had some family members from the Nesser brothers, from the Columbus Panhandles and Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Akron Pros, the first championship team of the NFL, as well as some other great folks. Buffalo Bills Alumni Association President Jeff Nixon spoke to us. George Bozica, the president of the PFRA, told us some of the happenings there and some great stories as well. And we had a former member of the Buffalo Jills cheerleading squad that had some great insight on her and on her experiences with the NFL team and that. And we just had a slew of other great guests that talked and told us some great football history. So if you ever get a chance to join the PFRA, PFRA.org or Professional Football Research Association on your Google search, and join a membership and join your local chapter. They have them all over the country, and you get to maybe meet a famous person like Mark Kelso or Jeff Nixon, who played ball, or maybe some other interesting people like Todd Schmidt or our young lady that was with the Buffalo Jills once upon a time. Great experiences all in all there. And we have a little bit of football history for you today. We're releasing this on May 5th. And May 5th, if you remember, is, we did a show on this years ago about, the great building of Yankee Stadium. This is when they broke ground for the original Yankee Stadium way back in the day. On May 5th, 1922, they started the construction in the Bronx, New York. And there are 10 very notable games that we borrowed from MajorLeagueBaseball.com to talk about this. And number 10 ranked is the last gridiron game played. It was on September 12th, 1987. It was a final football game at the stadium. Had the Central State University of Ohio edging out Grambling State 37-21. Grambling coach Eddie Robinson was still on the sideline for this one and showed a little bit of disappointment in the loss when his Grambling State squad fell to Central State. Back in, before the Pinstripe Bowl was going on, the last Gotham Bowl, that was the New York City bowl game they had, holiday bowl game, was Nebraska defeated Miami 36-34, on December 15th, 1962. What a barn burner that had to be in the final edition of the Gotham Bowl. The MVP was George Mira, who tossed for 321 yards and 2 touchdowns. Fans really didn't turn out so well because it was 14 degree temperatures at kickoff. Only 6,100 attended the game. That's why they did away with it. But man, you're scoring almost 70 points in 14 degree temperatures. The teams were definitely playing some ball. Now we had Jerry Kramer kick a ball for our 8th spot. Jerry Kramer, Green Bay Packers, was a guard. He had 3 field goals in a game to secure a 16-7 victory for the Packers over the New York Giants at Yankee Stadium, the last NFL championship game played there in that venue, December 30th, 1962. Now, a little bit of a tarnished granite is our 7th pick. We talked about back on our April 24th show. Ed Franco was a member of Fordham's 7 blocks of granite. Future Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi was also on that line for Fordham. the Fordham Rams 7 blocks of granite. In the 1936 season, Lombardi endured what he proclaimed as, quote, the most devastating loss in his life, end quote. The Rams needed one win for a Rose Bowl berth, but alas, they fell to New York University by the score of 7-6 on a muddy Yankee Stadium turf on Thanksgiving Day, dropping them from number 3 to number 15 in the final AP rankings of the year. Did not get to go to the Rose Bowl that season. Our sixth greatest game played is the Tittle Meant Title. In 1961, the Giants acquired quarterback Y.A. Tittle from the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for guard Lou Corleone. Now, Tittle, who led the G-Men to 3 straight Eastern Division titles, lofted 7 touchdown passes to lead the Giants to a 49-34 victory over the Washington Redskins on October 28, 1962. Now, the fifth spot is Ice Ice Baby. It was the 1956 National Football League Championship game. The New York Giants stomped the Chicago Bears by the score of 47-7 on December 30th, 1956 to complement their first season using Yankee Stadium as their home field. The game is famous for being played on an icy field where the Giants wore sneakers reminiscent of 22 years earlier when the same New York Giants wore tennis shoes to play on an icy Polo Grounds turf that became known as the Sneakers game. Up to number 4, how about Pat Summerall's boot? Pat Summerall, the voice that had sent many Sundays echoing through all of our living rooms, but it was Summerall's 49-yard field goal as a player for the New York Giants in a swirling snowstorm on December 14, 1958 that gave the Giants a 13-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns to force a playoff for the National Football League Eastern crown. He missed a 31-yard field goal earlier, but made up for it with his clutch kick. The following week, New York defeated Cleveland 10-0, a second week in a row, to advance to the 1958 NFL Championship game. Number 3 game at Yankee Stadium was what a tackle. Second-ranked Notre Dame and top-ranked Army played perhaps one of the most thrilling contests of their historic rivalry on November 9th, 1946 at Yankee Stadium. It was a 0-0 tie, made legendary by Johnny Lujack's well-chronicled saving tackle of Army star running backs Mr. Inside Doc Blanchard late in that contest. Well, the Gipper game comes in at number 2. George the Gipper Gip was a first-team All-American at Notre Dame before dying at the age of 25 of a deadly throat infection just days after leading Notre Dame to a win over Northwestern. Allegedly, while he was on his hospital deathbed, he received a visit from Coach Newt Rockne. Sometime in the future, at a halftime of a scoreless game, Rockne seized the moment to use the wishes of his dying player as a basis for an inspirational speech, urging his squad to win it for the Gipper, and the Irish went on to beat Army 12-6 at Yankee Stadium. The number 1 game is the greatest game ever played, the NFL Championship game on December 28, 1958 between the New York Giants and the Baltimore Colts. It was the first NFL game to go into the new sudden death overtime rule. The Colts won the game 23-17 and was widely regarded as the greatest game ever played. It was a national television audience saw the Colts receiver Raymond Berry catch 12 passes in a game, setting a championship game record with 178 yards and a score in a game that signaled the beginning of the National Football League's surge in popularity because TV is king for the NFL. And that's our history little lesson today. Sorry to repeat that on May 5th, but also wanted to fill you in the stories of what I did on draft weekend, besides the draft being here in Western Pennsylvania. Well, I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a great week. And we have some great episodes coming up for you today. And then the rest of this week, we have lots of stuff on our Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel come out, a lot of short stories. Our visit with Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com. A great show on the USFL Steamboats, if you missed that the other day. Keith Wood has wrote a great book about them and talk about some of the great football history. And don't forget to try out our games. We have the Pigskin Trivia Drive game, interactive football trivia game where you have control of moving the ball down the field, try to score as many points as you can in 5 minutes. And we have another special game coming up for you real soon. So some other special treats on football history. Till next time, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Gridiron, Japan!
Hello, Sports History Network listeners. I'm Greg St. James, and I'm inviting you to take a journey with me across the Pacific with Gridiron Japan Radio. I'm joined by a powerhouse team to bring you the best of football here in the land of the rising sun. We've got John Gunning of Inside Sport Japan and the Japan Times, star international and ex-league quarterback Aaron Ellis, and we're thrilled to welcome the new duo from the newly relaunched From the 55-Yard Line podcast, which is now Gridiron America Radio, co-host Dave Selinsky and Mike Tackett. We cover the Japanese X-League as well as the college game and interview the players and coaches who are making a splash here on the far side of the world. Subscribe today and help us celebrate the global game.